Welcome to Three Plastic Surgeons and a Fourth. We have Dr. Lawrence Tong from Toronto, Canada, Sal Pacella, Dr. Salvatore Pacella from San Diego, California, and Dr. Sam Jajurikar from Dallas, Texas. And I am Dr. Sam Ree, and I'm from Paramus, New Jersey. Welcome, everyone. Our topic today is going to be a headline that was from the New York Times recently about plus-size influencers. And basically, these are people that promoted body positivity, but then they lost weight. And the headline reads, do they owe their followers an explanation when their bodies change? So before we get into it, let's have Dr. Jajurikar go ahead and read our disclaimer.
This show is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. This show is for informational purposes only. Treatment and results may vary based upon the circumstances, situation, and medical judgment after appropriate discussion. Always seek the advice of your surgeon or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding medical care, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay seeking advice because of something in the show.
And with that, thank you very much. So basically, this is talking about when plus size models or people who promote body positivity suddenly change their body. And this is something that we see more and more as plastic surgeons, especially with the GLP agonists or the Ozempics coming on board and more people taking them. But there was an example of a plus size model, Dron May Davis, who had a big following on Instagram. A lot of people really loved seeing her. They made them feel comfortable in their bodies, and they felt like she was a role model. They felt like if someone could be so beautiful and bigger, they could be bigger and beautiful as well. And she was a size 16 or XXL. And over a few months, her body shrank. And then a lot of followers felt that she started to change. It felt like a betrayal to them, where she was being dishonest with the plus size community, with the body positivity community. How do you guys feel when you encounter patients or see people who have suddenly changed and then what used to be what their trademark image or concept about who they were suddenly becomes something very different?
I think those are two different issues. I think seeing people that have suddenly changed, and I think all of us probably in our practice in the past year have seen lots of patients that have suddenly changed in terms of their weight because of the GLP-1 and agonists that are on the market. But I think it's different when you're looking at someone whose public persona is that promoting a certain body image, and then that body image suddenly changes. I think, in the particular example that you're citing, this particular plus size model posts a lot of pictures of herself showing off her body in her pre-weight loss state, talking about the need to love herself, in the body that she has. Which clearly, I think all of us like the idea of people loving themselves and accepting themselves for who they are. But then when that changes and you are a very public person and you don't explain why that changed, I think people have a very understandable knee-jerk reaction to want an explanation. I think most of us are cynical enough here to believe that explanation is probably the same medications that everybody else in America seems to be taking right now. But for some reason, some people just don't want to say it.
Well, so there's no debate in the scientific community that not being overweight, not being obese is associated with better health outcomes, right? So high blood pressure, diabetes, hypertension, heart disease. And so when you sort of get out there to the community, albeit even the uneducated community that's not in medicine, you say, well, I'm happy being 300 pounds. Well, the question becomes, is that healthy to promote to followers to not take control of their health if they can? I don't think that's a very responsible way as an influencer or as someone that patients look up to set an example. There's one thing about embracing your self-image, but there's another thing with promoting unhealthiness.
Well, yeah, just to be clear, though, I don't think these influencers are saying that you should live an unhealthy lifestyle. But I mean, before a year ago, 2 years ago, when it was really easy for people who had metabolic syndrome, or very difficult for people that had metabolic syndrome or had insulin resistance, when it was hard for them to lose weight, are you suggesting that they shouldn't have felt positive about their body image, even if they were living a healthy lifestyle? Even if they were exercising? Because that's, I think, why people are upset. I don't think anyone thinks that obesity is healthy.
I think what Sal was maybe alluding to is the fact that this person's followers sort of got mad or felt betrayed. I'm, all for celebrating body positivity, but at the same time, not being a normal body weight is a big problem. Obesity is one of the biggest health problems in North America. Heart disease, stroke, diabetes, certain types of cancer, all are significantly increased with obesity. So if somebody is heavy, it shouldn't be stigmatized, but you should look at it. It is, obesity is a disease. And if somebody has cancer and they get cured of it, people aren't going to get angry, but for some reason, if you're heavier and you've been celebrating it for body positivity, doesn't mean that you can't strive to, become healthy.
I think one of the issues is with the advent of the GLP agonists like Ozempic, like Mounjaro, this is now becoming a division between the have and have nots. These are expensive medications. And they are not easily available. So when you have a plus size influencer, someone who has hundreds of thousands of followers, and suddenly she says, you know what? I want to lose weight. I don't want to be fat anymore. And I'm taking Mounjaro, which is what a plus size influencer they mentioned in this article, Rosie Blair, did. And she said, I have no remorse or shame. I couldn't wipe my ass 2 years ago. But then all of her followers are saying, well, should we all be, how can, we can't take Mounjaro. We can't afford Ozempic. This, this is something that is different than, say, like Sam said a couple of years ago, where if you had some of these health issues, there were very little options in terms of dealing with, polycystic ovary syndrome or other metabolic disorders. And so these are patients or people out there that are saying, wow, you are just totally throwing us under the bus here because you have the means to do so, and we don't.
This sort of reminds me very much of several years ago. Let me throw this in as an analogy. I'm putting myself through school. I'm working two jobs. I live in a studio apartment in a big city, and all of a sudden COVID hits. And then I'm cruising online on Instagram, and I have this multi-billion-dollar celebrity sitting in their mansion in Beverly Hills saying, you know what? You should stay home. Stay home. Stay home. It's the same thing. You have the means to stay home. You have the means to live in your mansion and sit by your pool, but the rest of us have to work. The rest of us live in tiny apartments, right? So it's like, to some extent, it's exploiting their followers.
First of all, I'm incredibly distracted by the large animal head behind Dr. Pacella's head, and I have a hard time focusing on anything else being said right now. That being said,
for our listeners and for our viewers, this is a fake bison head. I've always wanted
to get that in your backyard before you killed it. I don't even understand this.
I would never have a dead animal in my den, but it adds a little bit of color and mystique. Plus, I'm from Buffalo. I wanted a bison, Buffalo.
Fair. Okay. All right.
What's hanging behind yours?
That's a painting called Shipwreck.
Are you in a sushi bar?
No, I'm in my study. It's a painting called Shipwreck. I can show it off a little bit more. It's an abstract piece of art. But anyways, I digress. going back to what you guys were saying about these medications. So, you know, tirzepatide has gotten a new FDA indication for obesity. Now been rebranded as Zepbound. Semaglutide, no matter how you say it, has been rebranded as Wegovy. So although there are some scarcity issues, which are getting better, Eli Lilly is actually like building new production facilities, and they think by the end of the year, they're going to be on board with actually getting, you know, more of this medication out there. With health insurance and with appropriate documentation for morbidly obese people, these medications are not as expensive as you make them sound. So I think the analogies of multi-millionaires telling people not to work may not be exactly the same.
Well, I don't know. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that health insurers are going to bend over backwards to cover these medications?
We're seeing it already. It's going to happen because it's going to prevent. Yeah. I mean, Eli Lilly's market cap is about to hit $1 trillion. Tirzepatide is on its way to be the number one selling medication of all time. Those are things that are just happening. Viking Pharmaceuticals just saw their stock like triple last week because they just have a new GLP-1 like medication. There's all these new GLP-1 medications that are coming.
But hold on, let me finish.
So if you don't have chronic kidney disease, if you don't have amputees happening because of diabetes complications, if you don't have heart disease, these medications in the long run from preventative aspect will actually save insurers hundreds of thousands of dollars over the lifetime of their insured. So I do believe that they will pay for that, particularly as the price of these medications come down. And I'm seeing it in my own patients. I've already seen three patients in the last month who've gotten approval for Zepbound.
I've seen just the opposite actually here. Maybe it's California. We're the land of waste and whatnot. Many health insurers, at least three I know about, have removed them from their formularies because they're being overprescribed. Okay. Certainly if you have diabetes, that's an indication. For general weight loss, they're being withheld. And so insurers are not interested in covering these things until it's documented that they save lives long term. So I think there's going to be a big turnover. This is really growing on the sales side, people paying out of pocket. I mean, it's not happening out here. So
yeah, definitely is happening here. And again, I think I don't know what their BMI cutoff is. I imagine it's not 30, it's probably 35. But for morbidly obese people, I'm seeing it. I'm definitely seeing it being approved.
The other issue is that one, I don't think that medications are going to be the solution for people who are unhealthily obese.
He's going to start talking about CrossFit.
No. I'm talking about unhealthy means. How did people usually before deal with obesity or even the fear of becoming fat? Disordered eating, anorexia, bulimia. I mean, there were many, many, many women and other people who were seriously hurting themselves because they had obsessions with being thin. And I honestly think that these medications are going to drive that obsession of thinness equaling beauty even farther, because it's not just very obese, medically problem, you know, people who have real medical problems taking this medication. You know, we're all seeing the person who's maybe 10 or 15 pounds heavier and they want the quick fix, or they're taking this medication, so they're getting even skinnier. Those are the people which are driving this narrative that being skinny is good. And there is a huge problem culturally still in our country that if you are fat, you are lazy, you don't work hard, you're ugly, you're not attractive. And so I don't believe that that's true. We don't know what everyone's individual story or issue is, but the fact that these medications are starting to drive even more of a bias towards skinniness being equating either ability to afford drugs, ability to pay for drugs, that's a problem. I think that's a huge problem in our society.
So what are you saying then? Are you saying that we should limit access to these medications? I'm not clear what you're saying.
I don't think that these medications are the be all and end all. And I know patients who have not been able to tolerate these medications, period, for whatever reason, or patients who have lost so much weight on these drugs that they actually have to stop them. Okay. Or patients who don't believe, and who knows what these long-term medication effects are going to be. We really don't know that. I mean, we've only had these medications widely used for maybe 2, 3, 4 years at this point. So, and we've all seen major problems that come up in the 5, 10, 15, 20 year mark after chronic use of medications. So I just feel like there is a huge issue when you see all of these people who are promoting body positivity starting to get killed for losing weight. I don't think that that is healthy for our society. And I actually feel like we need to be a little more tolerant about everyone. I agree that we need to be tolerant about the people who do lose weight or manage to do so. But I don't feel like we should automatically say, yes, this is a good thing. I think we should be able to look at all patients, whether they're able to lose weight or not lose weight, and sort of still have them have a healthy self-esteem regardless. I don't think making someone feel crappy about the fact that their BMI is 30 or 35 is in any way going to help them achieve a healthier lifestyle because people are shaming them or body shaming them or fat shaming them or making fun of them. And so there is an important role, I think, for body positivity. And I think that could be attacked here more and more as these medications become more widespread.
So, you know, the psychology of this is very interesting. You know, when you're talking about these influencers, right? So they've created a whole persona, a whole cash cow, a whole deposit history of capitalizing on this with their followers, right? But then they just kind of turn on it when they're, you know, doing exactly the opposite. So, you know, I'm curious to what extent the careers of the influencers are going to change based on this, or is it just going to be turned into the next controversy? You know what I mean?
I mean, influence, they live on controversy. So you're right. They're going to have to find something else to sort of highlight in their lives. And whether it is the hate that they receive for being accused of being ableist or turning their back on body positivity, I don't know. I think that like story, Sam, hasn't been written.
Sam, how did you feel when you found out about Liver King?
What is Liver King?
The Liver King is this dude on the internet who is jacked beyond belief. Like, he looks like Sal with muscles, like a crap load. He looks a lot like Sal, but with just like a crap load of muscles. Okay.
And tell him what he ate during his clips.
Well, he just claimed he ate what? Raw liver?
Raw animal parts, right. Bone marrow, bones, liver, spleens. He would just eat them right on the internet. Say, this is why I live an ancestral diet. Okay.
And then it turned out that he was juiced on like every known substance known to man and was shown to be a fraud. And it wasn't the liver that he was eating. It was the juice he was injecting. The cycles he was on. I think he's still huge. I just don't think you're right. He isn't as popular as he once was. I don't know. Is that the same as this? I'm not sure.
I think these drugs ultimately will prove to be a good thing. I know that, of course, you have to be cautious because they're new and you don't know all this long-term side effects. But obesity is a big, big problem. And there has not been any way to solve it previously. Any previous drugs have at best got you maybe like 3 to 5% body weight reduction and probably not even on a long-term basis. Bariatric surgery would get you, 25-30%. These drugs are giving you those, you know, percentages approaching bariatric surgery without undergoing the surgery. And if it can, childhood obesity is a huge problem in the United States. A lot of these children are going to have really, shortened lifespans and lots of chronic diseases if they keep going in this direction. So I think that the fact that, yes, body positivity is good. You should not stigmatize somebody who's obese. But on the other hand, you should not be upset at anybody who, you know, is able to lose weight. Like I said before, if you could cure your diabetes, is somebody going to get mad at you for that? If you could reduce your, you know, having a heart attack, why is obesity treated differently? Obesity is a disease, but because there's this, you know, stigma associated with it, it's usually thought of as, you know, you don't have the will to, you know, you just eat too much, you're lazy, you don't, but it is really a disease. These drugs have changed the physiology of how people feel in terms of satiation and how the food moves through the gut, and it works. And some people just don't have that type of physiology to stay thin. And I think that in the end, these drugs can make a very big difference in society.
I agree with Larry. I think on the whole, these drugs are going to have huge health benefits for our population. In addition to even what he's saying, you know, people are now showing that it may help with addiction, like alcoholics are craving alcohol less and drug abusers are craving it less. We're seeing benefits in non-alcoholic cirrhosis, where you're actually, or non-alcoholic hepatitis, where we're actually seeing improvements in the state of the liver. So there's all these new indications for it. Well, like what Sam was saying, there are definitely side effects that people need to know about, and not everybody can afford them. And so I think there's two different issues. Are these drugs on the whole good, or are they on the whole bad? I believe they're good, and I think they're going to have huge benefits, but there are side effects, and not everyone can get them. You know, what I'm seeing with some patients is not what Dr. Pacella is seeing. And even with that, some people may not have health insurance. And so these medications should not come at the exclusion of body positivity. People should still be allowed to promote positive self-image, because self-image and obesity are two different issues. And I think a lot of times we view them interchangeably as being synonyms, but ultimately, you know, we need to allow people to feel comfortable in their own skin. And if they can get health benefits and lose weight, great. Can't, you know, they should still feel comfortable with who they are.
I just feel like as these drugs become more prevalent, fat stigmatizing and fatophobia and fat shaming is going to become more pervasive in our culture. I do believe that is.
I mean, it has been very pervasive in our culture for a very long time. I don't know if it can be any worse, but we'll see.
We will. All right. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I think that was a really interesting and stimulating discussion about this. And if you have any questions, if you are interested, please comment on our YouTube videos. You see all of our Instagram handles next to our names on our videos. And they're also on our website, 3PlasticSurgeryPodcast.com. Please check it out. And thank you, gentlemen. Until next time.